praise like you've never praised them before. If you cannot get excited in God's house, you can't get excited anywhere. We can go to sporting events and hoop and holler and scream and yell, but if we can't come into God's house and give Him better glory than we give a sports team, we're lost. Somebody give Him glory today. Give Him praise. We sing that song that says, do it again. You know, what that is saying is, God, I remember when you did something for me, and I need that same power today. I'm not going to be content with what I had yesterday, because I know I serve a God of today and tomorrow, and what you did for me there, you can do it again today. You should have walked in here expecting something today, church. You should have walked in here saying, God's got something for me. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to get it. I'm not leaving Cross Point Church until I take it back from the enemy who stole it from me, and I'm going to go back and get it. I'm thankful today. We're preaching a series of attitude of gratitude. I got an attitude of thankfulness today. It's just not for something that God did for me. It's just a way of living. And when we say do it again, we're saying, I've got this attitude of gratitude that I know you did something for me back then, but I just know that I know. I'm not going to live on that. I got an attitude that of thankfulness before I even see what you're going to do again. I know it's coming. It's hope. The Bible speaks of hope. God's got something. He's got purpose for you. He's got a plan for you. The Bible says in Jeremiah to prosper you, to give you hope and what? A future. I believe. Church, you got to believe. If you believe today, raise your hand to heaven and say, I believe. I believe, Lord God, in Jesus' name, I believe, Lord. I believe, Lord God, that you did it for me in the past. I believe, Lord God, you'll do it again. I may not see it today. I may not hear it today, but I do expect it to show up because I live on hope. Lord God, I walked in here today with hope welling up inside of me. Lord God, you've got something that you've not given to us yet. We're expecting it to show up. I believe. Lord God, today, in this service, for each and every one of us that walked in here today, turned on that device to watch online, Lord God, fill their lives with hope. Lord God, I pray that you make yourself new to them. If they're not serving you and they've never experienced a relationship with you, Lord God, I pray that today is their day. I pray, Lord God, that today is their day, that they have an encounter with heaven. Lord God, let them experience what I have experienced. Let them experience what many of us here at Cross Point Church experience every day. The power of the living God giving us hope and a future. Let it be today. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody in the church said amen. Amen. Church, give them praise today as you're seated. Hallelujah. We've got hope today. Amen. Amen. I've got hope that my platform, my podium will show up. There it is. There it is. Hope is good, he says, right? Good morning. Aren't you glad you showed up today, right? Aren't you glad you rolled out of bed? Aren't you glad you woke up today, as we say every week, right? We say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for joining us online. If you're watching us on the Facebook side, hit share in the bottom right-hand corner and share that broadcast to your private feed, your news feed, however that is, so people can be blessed, that we can continue to get the word out. Thank you for joining us online. Thank you so much. If you're listening on the podcast each week, we welcome you to Cross Point Church. You are such a blessing to us, and the visitors that we have each week are such a blessing.
Yes, welcome again to all of you, and if you happen to be here for the very first time, welcome. We are so blessed to have you. You are a VIP to us, and we want to be sure that you do not leave here without a very special gift. So one of the best ways you can get that, there is a Connect card, a VIP Connect card in the seat back pocket in front of you. If you would fill that out and take it to the lovely folks at the Welcome Center on your way out, they will present you with a gift, or you can scan that QR code on your bulletin and also give us that same information. But in that gift box is some information about the church, some goodies, and last but not least, everybody say it with me, a Chick-fil-A card. Everybody here knows that. So we want to just treat you to a free lunch, you and every person that came with you as a first-time visitor today. And we would just, again, want you to know how blessed we are to have you. And if you don't have a church home, we would ask you to prayerfully consider making Cross Point your home. We are a friendly bunch, and we love to add people to our church family. So again, welcome. We have another busy week coming up here at Cross Point starting tonight, 6:30. You volleyballers, you know who you are. You are a dedicated group. 6:30 tonight for anyone 25 years and older. So those of you that want to play,
that's you.
Even if you, that is not me.
That's you.
Even if you've never come yet and that fits your description, you are welcome to join them. They have a great group, and I know they would love to have any new folks that
you're
want to join
them. You're not over 25?
Oh, I am 25, but I'm not a volleyballer.
Oh, okay.
I thought you meant 25, or volleyball. No,
you're
I can't play volleyball.
You're over 25. You're over 25. You qualify.
I'd end up in
you
the hospital
qualify.
If
you
I
qualify if it's 30 or 35 or...
Moving right
anyways,
along.
You qualify.
Wednesday, starting at 10:30 in the morning, is our weekly intercessory prayer where several folks come together and pray over the needs of this church. So if you have never joined them yet, this Wednesday is your chance, 10:30. We have seen many miracles.
Yes.
One of them is sitting out here this morning from that intercessory prayer time. So we want you to know that prayer works. And if you want to join those folks in praying, 10:30 Wednesday mornings. Don't miss it. And then on to Journey Night, starting at 6 o'clock, our journey of food, faith, and fellowship. We are breaking records every week on attendance and new,
yes,
brand new people from the community coming in and getting a free meal and a warm smile and going on to either celebrate recovery or a class and learning and growing in their faith or maybe finding Jesus for the very first time. So thank you for what you're doing. Sorry, but it just warms my heart. So the food starts at 6, and then all of the classes follow at 7. We have programs for all ages, so please, if you are new to Journey Night, please check your bulletin for all the details. And then I think my last announcement, Operation Christmas Child, those boxes that you see out in the foyer area that we are sponsoring for those kids, those are due back next Sunday. So you still can grab a box this week. All of the instructions are in the box, but they have to be turned in next Sunday. So please, like me, who hasn't remembered to bring your box back.
You have time.
Don't forget your box. I know. I panicked and thought it was today.
They're stacking up at home, by the way.
Yes, I have them at home.
We pushed them off to the side because we had to put up the monumentally big Christmas tree this year that takes up half our family room, right?
But it brings me so much joy.
I know.
I'm in such a good mood because I got to put my tree up yesterday.
Folks, I got to have a little disclaimer this morning. Now, as I preach and I'm up here, if you see the lights reflect off of the much glitter that is now overtaking me, because we have to have a glitterful tree, right?
Yes.
It has to have glitter.
Yes.
We actually saw glitter floating through the family room yesterday.
It was in the air.
It was everywhere.
We'll be breathing it for the next 2 months.
I'm telling you, I've never seen so much glitter. I know it's going to be all over me.
It's
so if you see me
thing.
Shining, it was on my bald head yesterday, right? I was lighting up.
It was.
So, right? It wasn't because I was so spiritual. It was because I was just lighting up.
Because you had glitter, right?
So it was crazy. I'm sorry, did I interrupt?
No, I'm done.
It is Christmas time, right? It's getting close. Thanksgiving is close. But hey, we've got some things coming up here at the church we want to make you aware of. Next Sunday is Baptism Sunday, the 19th. Yeah, woohoo. Yes, you want to get excited. People are getting baptized next week, right? Following the command of Christ to get baptized in water. We're going to do that next week as the service winds down. Then, if you've not heard, we're having a birthday party. The family of our very own John Dorm is sponsoring a birthday party for
Woo-hoo.
Him. Woo-hoo, yep, he's turning 50.
Wow.
I'll say
You're
wow.
so young.
Yeah, say everyone say wow.
Wow.
Right, 50, right? Almost for you, right?
Yeah, right.
Definitely not for me, right? Anyways, we'll celebrate after baptism. We'll go down and we'll celebrate together. You're all invited. The family's got some special things for John, who's been around this church for 19 wonderful years, and we'll celebrate with him next week. Then, coming that Wednesday, that would be after that 19th. Now, normally we would have Journey Night that Wednesday, but guess what? It's right before Thanksgiving. And keeping with the tradition of this church, we want to honor the families of the church and everyone that's involved in Thanksgiving. So we're not having Journey Night that night. That night is the night before Thanksgiving Thursday. So just let people know that we will not be in session on that night. However, we've got some things special for you. The following week is Sunday, the 26th of November. Missionary Jay Seidler and his family will be here. You want to be here. You know, I know you've heard a bunch of missionaries speak before, not this story. This is a story that's very unique. You want to be here. He is the missionary to Ohio State University, the Ohio State University missionary. Yep. You can say that. 38-3 yesterday, they beat Michigan State. So, yeah, he'll be here on the 26th. Then a couple of days later, we will re-engage Journey Night on that Wednesday. But we have a special Journey Night in store for you. We are launching here the Crosspoint Alive services on Wednesday night. One Crosspoint Alive service per quarter. It will be this quarter's Crosspoint Alive. All the ministries that normally engage in classes and celebrate recovery and all the programs that we have a packed building on Wednesdays. If you're not here on Wednesdays, check it out. But you'll want to check it out that Wednesday because we will re-engage Journey Night, a journey of faith, food, and fellowship together. But we're going to be alive to healing. We believe, as good Christian folks, that God still heals people. And if you've got a hurt, hang-up, or habit that you come to celebrate recovery for, that's your night. If you're sick in body and you're struggling with something physical, that is your night to be here. If you are struggling with some emotional situation that God needs to step in, this is your night. We're going to come together as a church on that Wednesday night and be alive to healing, and you want to be there, right? Let's be alive to healing on that Wednesday night. Praise God. Hey, check your bulletin for other announcements. If you're looking for ways to give or how to join the church text alert system, you can see how to do that on the back of your bulletin. Now, folks, today is a special day. We've announced for the last couple weeks, today is Stand Sunday, and I am going to ask that Ashley Gray come to the platform at this time. She'll probably need your mic. She is coming. Church, make welcome the East Central Area Father's Heart Representative, Ashley Gray.
She's even got her Father's Heart.
She's got the Father's Heart on.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to talk to you guys today about something that's really close to my heart. I have a short video that I want to share with you about Stand Sunday. Will you play the video?
You don't know my name. You can't see my face. You might not know I even exist. I hate living in limbo, not knowing what my future holds. I don't want my past to predict my future. My mom was a teen in foster care. She aged out without anyone and ended up homeless and then pregnant with me. Now, I'm in foster care. What if I end up like my mom? Will I always be alone? God, if you exist, please send someone to step into my story and break this cycle. God, are you even listening? Everyone has a role to play in a child's story. What will yours be?
That video always gets me, I'm sorry. My parents, they were foster parents, and they had many, many kids come in their home that were like this kid in this video. They adopted 6 of my siblings. So I have a story I want to share with you about. So some kids that came into our home. I was about 15 years old when my parents got a phone call from the county, and they had an emergency placement. My mom said, we don't have any beds because we were full with other kids in our home at the time, but we do have some couches if that's okay. The caseworker told my parents the couches is better than them sleeping in my office. So she brought over 3 little boys for one night. Something tragic happened that afternoon in their home that I'm not going to share the details about. But one of the child did not make it. One of their other siblings was in the hospital. The 3 boys, they began to frantically look in my parents' pockets when they started to get hungry. Looking in their pockets. And they were looking for money. When they didn't find any money, they began to cry. My mom asked what was wrong. And they explained that they always are looking in their parents' pockets for money when they are hungry, because they use the money to go get food out of the vending machines, because that's how they get their dinner. And because they thought my parents didn't have any money in their pockets at night, that they were going to go hungry. Unfortunately, that's the story that a lot of kids have. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Stand Sunday is all about bringing awareness to the churches about foster care and the teens and the kids that are in foster care. James 1:27 says that we take care of the orphaned. Today, we have an opportunity to do that. I have 2 different ways that we can do it. We're taking a special offering for the Stand Sunday in the lobby. We're just taking $1, and it helps fund the ministry. That's all we're asking for. If you want to give more, you may bless more, obviously. But we're just asking for $1. And the other way is we're collecting gift cards for the teens that are in foster care, because a lot of times the teens get forgotten. So there's more information in the lobby that I have for you. And we're going to be blessing the teens with these gift cards at Christmas time so that they don't get forgotten at Christmas. Father's heart is bringing hope to the hopeless. So let's bring hope to the children of God today.
Thank you, Ashley. Ashley, thank you so much for all you do for Father's Heart. She is the area rep. She takes care of that for the entire area of churches, including our church here. So, Ashley, thank you. If you have a dollar on you today, if you would just see Ashley in the foyer, the lobby, after you leave, as you're leaving, you can drop a dollar in there and talk to her about the gift cards and whatnot and how to bless those that are not near as fortunate as many of us. Let's have an attitude of gratitude for those kids today. What do you think, church? Good morning again. Thanks for coming into the house today. It was 50-some-odd degrees, I predict, today. That's what the weatherman says. We're good with that. It's going to be nice and sunny. It's good to be in God's house. If you're watching online, again, thank you so much for joining us today. Closer and closer to Thanksgiving, closer and closer to Christmas. If you're listening again on the podcast, we welcome you to Cross Point Church here in Canton, Ohio. We believe God is doing something really special here. We believe God is doing something really special in your life and my life. Thank you, dear. I appreciate that. And if God's not, you're thinking differently. Maybe you're just not thinking with the power of contentment, which we will talk about here this morning. But let's do a quick little review. We're going through a series leading up to Thanksgiving called The Attitude of Gratitude. Thanksgiving is close, right? Church, what are you thankful for? I think there are so many things that we are thankful for today, and we think about those probably more so throughout the season of Thanksgiving. And I challenge you to have an attitude of gratitude and think about those things throughout the course of a year and live with an attitude of gratitude to your Heavenly Father for what He's done for you, what He'll do for you in the very future. A truly thankful heart requires a couple of things we talked about last week. It requires you to be committed. What's committed? A vow. Lord God, I'm going to be thankful no matter what it looks like. I'm going to be committed to my promise just to remain thankful. grateful for everything you've done. Even though things might not look so great today, I'm still going to maintain my commitment to you, the attitude of gratitude. And that takes some fortitude, we talked about. That takes some mental and emotional strength in each and every one of us to do that, especially when things aren't going well. When the circumstances in our lives are struggling, we think, you know, it just doesn't feel or look real good, whatever it may be, health or jobs or family or marriages or whatever, finances, whatever it may be, it's harder to maintain this attitude of gratitude when things aren't going well. But we don't want to just live on what God gives us, right? It's easy kind of to have this attitude of gratitude and thankfulness when things are good. And you know, we define those things. We decide whether they're good or not. We talked about that last week. We don't want to live on that type of mentality, right? We must make up our minds to be thankful and not just wait until the emotion of being thankful hits us. Thanksgiving would be a lot easier if we truly realize how blessed we really are, even when the circumstances aren't necessarily to our liking. The question I proposed to you last week was, is our gratitude an overall attitude, or is it just an emotion that we live on? Is it this emotion of thankfulness? Wow, God, thanks for doing this. Thanks. That means we're getting something for being thankful. Something happened. What about just being thankful because God is God and he put us here with a purpose and something for our lives, even though things, the circumstances in our lives might not be to our liking at the time. We talked about the sin of ingratitude last week. And what does that sin of ingratitude look like? We talked about when we forget. Being forgetful, taking for granted what God has already done. Man, we're a needy bunch, right? Taking for granted what God has already done. And we talked about selfishness, not responding to God's kindness. Not responding to his kindness. Why is that? Why don't we respond sometimes to the kindness of God? Because it's not exactly what we want it to be. So we don't respond, even though it's good. We say, it could be this. We define that. We talked about that selfishness last week. We talked about bitterness in our heart. Murmuring and grumblings and complainings that we do. And that's kind of the sin of ingratitude. And again, we're kind of defining what we should get. I'm not sure if we should be defining what we should get from heaven. We should be thankful that heaven still has grace in our lives and reaches out to us, right? Yep. We talked about the need to thank God for the things he has kept us from, as well as the things we have gotten. We don't really know the things God has saved us from, do we? You really don't know. What an attitude of gratitude to say to heaven, God, thank you for protecting me from the things I didn't even know would have happened, right? I don't know. Thank you so much. We're always looking at the things we got as opposed to things that God didn't have come in our path because he protected us. We are prone to look at the problems we have and not appreciate the ones we don't have. God, thank you for the problems I don't have today. I may have some, but I don't have as much as I could, right? I could probably have a whole lot more if God would not have intervened. And he intervenes because I have this attitude of gratitude. Thank you, Lord. And it's not just an emotion. Today, church, we're going to go down the pathway of telling you and explaining to you and teaching you this concept called the power of contentment. The power of contentment. Wow. Are we content today? Are we content with who we are, what we have, our lot in life, our purpose, our plan, everything God has wrapped around us? Are we content today? There is power in you being content with your life. Now, I'm not going to be preaching and teaching on things that you're not aspiring to do. It's okay to aspire to be successful. And our college students getting degrees, being successful. It's not a sin to want to have a better job. It's not a sin to want to progress and move through life. God blesses that. Jeremiah talks about that. A plan, a purpose to give you hope and a future, right? It's okay. However, along the way, if we're not content with what God has wrapped around us, and we do the mumblings and the groanings and the complainings and forgetfulness, there lies the power that's not in our life called contentment. And we're going to talk about that today, so let's start it. Contentment is very rare find in today's world. We don't find contented people too much. Pastor, what does contentment mean? Well, it means I'm peaceful, I'm happy, and I'm satisfied. I'm happy, I'm satisfied. It does not mean you can't progress and look to do better and move through life. But guess what? It just seems, have you ever met a person that no matter what they tell you, they're not happy, they're not peaceful, they're not satisfied? You know, we all have those. And, you know, folks, we go through those seasons too. We're just struggling. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being contented and just going through life contented with an attitude of gratitude. And we're going to talk about the power of that. Now, you know, we all remember growing up, right? You should remember, hopefully. You can't be so old you don't remember, you know, when you were a youngster. I remember going to the store as a youngster with mom and saying this, I want that, I want that, I want that, right? I remember opening the Christmas presents and not getting exactly what I always wanted. And I remember getting things that I really thought were cool, right? We all go through that scenario. But I do remember walking through those stores. Our kids, it was Toys R Us. And our daughter would say, Toys R Us. Take me to Toys R Us, take me to Toys R Us, right? When my mom would take us to those stores and I would say, I want that, this, that, she would have this phrase, and here's the phrase, you've got enough. You've got enough. Doesn't mean she didn't buy me something at some point, but when I would say, I want this, that, and the other thing, there is the phrase that showed up, you've got enough. She wasn't telling me I have enough stuff. Well, she probably was. But what she was teaching me was you have to be content with what you have. What a concept, right? Well, when you're a little kid, you don't really understand that. But as she would say that time and time again, you know, as I grew older, it was you've got enough. You don't need any more. You've got enough stuff or whatever. And you need to be taught the contentment and the power thereof in your life, that although you don't have everything that you want, and folks, you're never going to get everything you probably want. You got to be content with what God has blessed you with. But she taught me this contentment power, and then she really taught me this contentment piece when she said, when I was 12 years old, go get a paper out. How dare you tell me to get a paper out, right? How dare you make me go out and work for a few dollars a week? And then all of a sudden, when I was 14 years old, I got a job at the local theater, cleaning the theater. I've testified to that. You know, if you want some more things, if you want God to bless you, you go out and work for it. Don't think that, you know. So she's teaching me the power of being content. Boy, I said the power of contentment in my life really changed when I had to write the check or give the dollar myself, right? Back then, when the kids were growing up, we were learning how to do checks. Today, they just learn how to do the Apple Pay and all that stuff. But back in the day, when I was growing up, we actually wrote a check, right? And those checks were really cool. Because I could write a check, and it wouldn't come out of my account for a few days, right? Isn't that right? Do you remember when you could write the check, and it took days for the money to come out? And we used to have to do this thing called balanced checkbook. Because some of those checks didn't come out right away, right? So we had to know how many checks were outstanding. And sometimes we'd make this mistake of writing the check and we were overdraft the account. Today, it's all digital pretty much. And it comes out like right away. How dare they not allow us to float 3 to 5 days of money, right? My mom taught me that piece of the power of contentment. You've got enough. The thought's like this. So many of us are searching for something of value in our lives, but never finding it. Contentment is a rare find today in such a discontented world. Such a discontented world. We live in a world that never has enough. We live in a time that there's just not enough. We are always searching for more. Jumping to Philippians 4:12, let's read it like this. I'll use the scripture a couple times today. Watch what happens. I know what it is to be in need, as Paul writes. And I know what it's like to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And he starts that by saying, in need. What does he mean when he says, I know what it's like to be in need? What he is saying is to have nothing. I don't even have the bare necessities. For us today, I have no running water, I have no food, I have no roof over my head. I don't have any of the bare necessities to get me from one day to the next. I have none of that. I am in need. No bare necessities. I don't even have the basics of the basics. He is saying, I know that life. Now, some of us here know that life and others don't. But he did. He is saying to us, I know what it's like. What a testimony to say, I know. But then he also says, I know what it's like to have plenty. What does that mean? It means to have more than I need. Not only do I have the bare necessities, I've got the stuff I need day to day, and I have more than I even need to go day to day. I've got plenty. So he's telling you that I know what it's like not to have anything, not even the bare necessities. I don't have enough water. I don't have enough food. I don't have this. And I know what it's like to have more than I ever thought I'd ever have. Now that's a gamut of life. I don't know. Few people maybe have lived that. Your pastor has. As a youngster. Not knowing from day to day if I'd have water to drink, a bed, or food, it's a rough life. I could relate. The thought's like this, contentment is finding satisfaction in God's plan for your life as opposed to what he gives you along the way. See, scripture teaches us there's a plan wrapped around our lives, and either we live on God's purpose and plan for us, or we live on the stuff he gives us along the way. And Paul says, wait, I know what it's like not to have any, and I know what it's like to have all kinds of stuff. I'm good with, regardless of what the situation is, I don't live on what he gives. I live on the plan and the purpose he has for me. I'm good with that. And during that plan and during that purpose and during that life, sometimes I don't have enough. And sometimes I have more than enough. But I don't care. I don't live on that. I live on the fact that God knows who I am and he's got a purpose for me to do something. And church, the Bible says that you are the same way, just like I, that God has a plan and purpose for your life. Don't get caught up living on what he gives you along the way. Get caught up on what is the plan and what is the purpose. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to show you the secret to all this because he mentions that in the scripture as well. Contentment is finding satisfaction in God's plan for your life as opposed to what he gives you along the way. 1 Timothy 6:6, written by Paul, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You can be godly but not contented. You can be contented but not godly. But if you take godliness wrapped around being content, you've got something. There lies the power of contentment. There lies the power within your life. And he talks about this godly thing, godliness. What does that mean, Pastor? I have great satisfaction. I have enough. Why? Because I have God. Everything takes a back seat to my relationship with heaven. It all flows from that. That's why some people that don't know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior are always discontented. They're always discontented. It's, you'll never have enough. Now, there are some people I've run across in Life Church, as you have as well, that are not believers, And they're like really contented. They're few and far between, I think, because contentment comes from the flow of heaven. But they just happen to say to you, I'm good. And he talks about contentment there. What does that mean? What God provides. I accept what God provides no matter what it is. If it's plenty, fine. If it's I'm just in need, fine. It's looking beyond that and saying, I'm content with just being godly. Because that's where contentment flows, right? And he makes that comment, there is great gain. That's the value. That's the value. The godlier you are, the more content you become. But in today's world, folks, people run after the contentment piece, trying to get more stuff. Money is the driving force of that. And they're missing the piece because they don't have that relationship with heaven. Let that not be the case for us as believers. Because all that contentment and the power thereof flows from our relationship with heaven. Right? It flows from that. Let's watch what happens here in a minute. How truly does a Christian live with contentment? You say, Pastor, you don't know my situation. You don't know. I know many situations. I knew my own situation. How do we live with contentment? That's the difference, folks, from living on what he provides and who he is. Big difference. He provides because who he is, because we serve him. We don't serve him because of what he provides. He provides because he's heaven and he's God, and we have a relationship with him that makes me contented. The more Jesus I get, the more contented I feel. Right? Hebrews 13:5 reads like this: keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. What does that mean? That means the love of money is the problem in your contentment, right? The love of money. It's not having money. We always want to say having money and having wealth in society today is a sin. It's not. It's the love of it. I don't care about anything else. I just want more money. We know people like that, and there lies some discontentment. But the love of money drives the problem. There's some godly expectations that need to be in our life. And Luke 12:48 reads it like this: when someone has been given much, we've talked about this before, much will be required in return. And when someone has been given or entrusted with much, even more will be required. See, we want to push through life sometimes and say we want to be here when God has us here. And we want to be here. And God is saying, what are you doing here? Are you content here with what I've already given you, the life that I have blessed you with? Are you content? Maybe the life isn't with the bare necessities. Are you content? It's not a problem to want more. It's a problem to have a desire that that is your, what's feeding you. That's what's driving you. That's what, I just want more stuff. And kids do that all the time, but they're kids, right? They don't understand until somebody looks at them and God looks at us and says, you've got enough. You've got enough. And that scripture says, you've got enough right now. And until I see you where you're at, making the changes that need to be made, I'm not taking you to the next spot. Until you learn to be content with this, you don't need to go here. And then when I take you here, folks, I'm going to ask a lot more of you. I'm going to expect there's going to be some godly expectations placed on your life. When you get there, I'm going to ask you to do more things with it. Example could be this. God asks us for 10% of our income, right? To be blessed back to the church. That's the expectation. 10%, the Bible says. The scripture says if you don't give God his 10%, you are robbing him of his money because you don't own it. It's not yours. He entrusts you with it, but he wants you to give it to him. If you're sitting here today, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Tithing is a biblical principle in God's word that says, I'm going to entrust you with some money, and if you give back the 10% that you're supposed to, I'll then do what? I'll entrust you with some more. But if you're not going to do the right things with what I'm giving you now, why would I trust you with more when the expectation in the scripture says, I have some more things for you to do? What could that be? Maybe I want now 20%. The Bible doesn't say that, but maybe God lays on your heart and says, listen, I've known people like that, folks, that would say, God, I will do whatever it takes, I will whatever, and God calls them to give more than 10%. The godly expectation. They won't be content, and God will not be content with them until they do. I'm not preaching about money, I'm just giving you an example. And I've known those kind of people. There's some people in our country today that run very large Christian organizations that you could probably look up and see what they do because God has entrusted them with something and they're not going to be making a mistake with it. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. Thoughts like this. Some have little while others have more, but the commandment is the same for all of us. We are commanded to be content and responsible for what God has given us. To be content and responsible. God has entrusted you, folks. He has entrusted me with whatever that looks like today. What are you doing with that? And you bump out of just talking about money, talk about your time. I don't have the time to give to heaven anymore. I don't have the time to do things at the church. I don't have the time to do what I used to do. I just don't have the time. But you do have the time to do all the other things. When the things for heaven should be the number one thing you do with your time. We believe that because he's entrusted you with time. Ever think of it that way? That God gave you time today? Pastor, you don't know my schedule. I don't have any time. You got time because you woke up. God has blessed you with time. What you do with your day is your decision. What you do with the money that God has entrusted into your checking account is your decision. God has blessed you with it. He has given it to you. What you do from that point on is your choice. It's in the Word. Right? That's what it says. God has, and I just read the scripture. And we wonder why sometimes we don't go to the next step because God is waiting for us to be content with what we have and then do what he's called us to do with it. I got a feeling a lot of us would move quickly through life and God would bless us with more things and entrust us with more things if we were content with what he already gave us. That is the power of choice and contentment in our lives, folks. What about this thought? Christian contentment is a supernatural power that can only be achieved when God's grace works alongside your human heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's grace shows up, my decision, my choice shows up, the Holy Spirit tries to spit it all together, and we meet heaven, and what are we going to do? What's the decision today? What's my choice today? It's a partnership between God and us, and the Holy Spirit is the glue. And let me tell you where the power of contentment starts. It starts in the scripture at John 15:5. Yes, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can't do anything. The most important thing you have today, church, is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything flows from that. We are the branches. He is the vine. We are just glued to him. And the closer we get, the more content we get. Because contentment flows from heaven. And that is the power of being contented. That is the attitude of gratitude in your life. Be contented. Don't walk out of here saying the pastor told you that you couldn't advance your life. But the love of money will drag you down. And your discontent will be a millstone around your neck. And God says, be content. Watch what happens when we dive into Philippians 4:12 again, right? Can we be genuine Christians and always discontented? Can you be a born-again believer and be really solid in your faith, but you're always not content. Philippians 4:12 reads like this. We just read it. Watch what happens. I know what it's like to have need. I know you have the bare necessities. I know what it's like to have plenty. I got more than I need. And here's what we want to talk about here for the next few minutes. I have learned the secret of being content. There's a secret? Your pastor is going to tell you the secret this morning, folks, to any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. The secret to the power of contentment is not all of us have learned it yet. Which means, that means he's saying, not only haven't you learned it, there is something for you to learn more. And some bald-headed guy on this date from a platform in a church in Canton, Ohio, is trying to tell us all, here it is. Here's the secret, the power of your contentment. We may not even know what it is because it's a secret. We haven't learned it yet. And the important thing is, we're going to go find out the answer. And we're going to learn it. And there's power in your contentment. You could sit here and say, but Pastor, you just don't know my situation. I know situations. I know mine, and I know many of yours. I know the Apostle Paul's situation because he is very descriptive in the Word about his life. And even though he had all these tragic things happen in his life, he maintained an attitude of gratitude with the power of contentment in his life. I don't need all this stuff. I don't have the bare necessities. I've got plenty today. It doesn't matter to me. I don't live on that. I don't live on what God gives me. I live on the fact that I serve a risen Savior. That's what I live on. And that's what my thanksgiving is. That's what the power of contentment is. Listen to this. We can be devout Christians, but sinfully discontented because we're never learning the secret to being content. We don't want to know. We spend more time in our sin of ingratitude by bitterness, murmuring, grumbling, complaining, than learning the power of being content with the life and purpose God has called me to. The Apostle Paul learned to be content no matter what the circumstances was. That is the secret. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. And that's what he gave us, that supernatural power to do what God has called us to do no matter what the circumstances in our life looks like. It doesn't matter. I'm going to be content. I'm making a commitment to be content. I'm going to put some emotional strength and fortitude behind that to be content. I'm going to be okay. No matter what the situation looks like, I'm going to be okay. I know the secret is it doesn't matter of my circumstances or my situation. I'm just going to be content. I believe that God will meet my need. I believe that my checking account will get some more money if I need it. Maybe God's trying to teach me that I spend too much. Maybe he's trying to teach me not to go to Starbucks so many times a week. Maybe he's trying to teach me, whatever he's trying to teach you and I. Maybe he's trying to teach us something. Until we go seeking the secret, nothing's going to change in our life. Right? Let me tell you about the Apostle Paul's contented life. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. Get ready, church. It'll be on the screen behind me, and it'll be on your online on the device. And here it goes. I know I sound like a madman. Right? Yeah. But I have served him far more. I have worked harder. Been put in prison more often than any of you. I've been whipped times without number and faced death again and again. If that's you today, just scream out. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Anybody here been lashed at the whipping post before you got to service this morning? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And survived. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. They all were after me. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but they really weren't. Anybody here meet somebody like that? Yeah. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. That's the part where he says, I have been in need. And he descriptively tells you what that looks like. I have shivered in the cold, no home, without enough clothing to keep me warm, bare necessities. Don't even have that. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of the concern for all the churches, the pastor's heart. I don't have any of this stuff. And my life is really, in your minds, a wreck. All this tragedy wraps around me. But the power of contentment shows up in his life because I don't care about all those things because God still has a plan and a purpose and hope for my life. And he lives on that instead of all the tragedy that happens. That's the secret, folks. That's the transformation power of contentment in your life. What are you living on today? Are you living on what he gives you or doesn't give you? Or are you just living on the godliness in your life to serve him? And Paul is trying to teach us a valuable lesson. God had an intentional plan for Paul. He wasn't about to let any discontent stand in his way. He believed that God had a plan. And all those things were not going to stand in his way of getting to that plan and fulfilling that plan. Romans 8:28 reads like this, and we know that all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. He lived it. I'm going to be content no matter what it looks like. I'm not going to let my discontent keep me from heaven. I'm just going to do it. I'll throw caution to the wind and say, forget it. I just believe. I'll just make this pledge, this commitment with fortitude in my life. I will be contented with whatever God decides to give me. It's good enough. And I'll honor him for that. I'll do what he's called me to do. I'll do something. If he gives me a dollar, I'll give my 10 cents and I'll keep my 90 cents and I'll still live just fine, because I'll keep my eyes on heaven and not on things. I won't trace after the love of money, and if God blesses me with wealth, that's fine. And I'll do even more for him because I'll be content with whatever. Doesn't matter, because the power of contentment with an attitude of gratitude is thanksgiving in your heart no matter what the circumstances look like. Doesn't matter. I feel very qualified to preach a message like this because I've lived exactly. I haven't been shipwrecked and I haven't been lost at sea, but I know what he's talking about and some of the pieces of that life. Here's the thought for you. There is a God standing alongside you regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your situation, regardless of your abundance or lack thereof. Once you tap into the secret of accepting who you are in Christ and not gauging your life on what is given to you, then you'll unlock that secret, that supernatural power that God intended for you all along. That, church, is the power of contentment that Paul talks about. Once you tap into that secret, here's what it goes. There is no stopping you. But it is laying down your life and saying, I will go with Jesus. It is a power. It is a choice. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, I take pleasure in my weakness, he writes. I take pleasure in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. Because when I'm weak, I am strong. So today, folks, before we leave, and as you're watching online, I am going to give you the opportunity to come down to an altar and say, God, I am content today. With a genuine heart of contentment, I'm going to come around the altar, and I'm going to raise my hands as the worship team sings, and I'm going to say, Lord God, it doesn't look like the way I would want it to look. But I tell you what, Lord God, I will proclaim today, on November 12th of 2023 at Crosspoint Church, and as I watch online, I am content. I don't need more money. I don't need more things. I don't need more stuff. I don't need a bigger house. I just am content with what you've given me today. And you unlock that power in your life, you will see transformation that you have never seen. But it takes a choice. The secret that Paul writes about is, can you make the transformation in your mind to say, I am just content with what it looks like today? Circumstances and all, situation and all. It doesn't mean you don't work for something better. It just means that today I'm content. And I'm going to give you that opportunity before we leave here today. And if you're watching online, you can do the exact same thing right where you're at. Many watch us online. You could go and say, I'm going to do exactly what the pastor, I'm going to just get on my knees and I'm going to pray. Because I am content today. I am content to be your pastor. I am content with my life. I am content to lead the greatest church around. With people that believe in the Son of the Living God, and they're thankful because they have an attitude of gratitude and they're content today. And just because you come down to the altar in a second here doesn't mean that you want people that, you know, you're not looking, you're just saying to heaven, I am content. I will be joining you when you come down. And raising my hands and saying, Lord God, I'm content. I'm okay with that. He may call you to do something later on this afternoon or tomorrow because you came to an altar and said, God, I'm content. The power of contentment will transform your life. Church, stand with me. I'm going to challenge you to come down as the worship team continues to play a little bit. To come down, seek the power of contentment by proclaiming you are content with your life, if that is you, or if you just want to come down and make that proclamation. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't wait for somebody to lead you down there. Just come down to the altar where transformation takes place in the local church and raise your hands and say, I am content, Lord God. It doesn't matter. It's not necessarily what I want, but that's okay because as long as you want it for me, I am fine with that. That is what I want. I just want to be content today, Lord. I don't want to be more than you want me to be. I'm good right here. God's going to take that power of contentment in your life and transform your personal life today. If you are one of our altar workers here in our church, I would ask you if you would do me a favor and come down to the altar with me and just fan out behind the people. And as we begin to sing, I pray that you lay hands on them and just pray down heaven upon them and let them lead this altar time today contented. And let them feel the power of contentment that many of us feel. If you are a deacon in our church today, one of the board members that this church is blessed with, if that is you today, you are certainly qualified to come down and pray at the altar. Church, raise your hands and be contented and proclaim the contentment in your life as we sing together. my church. Let's sing together.
You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again.
Raise your hands to heaven, church. And say, I am contented today. I am contented today. Yes. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the power of contentment. Lord God, we thank you that we could come around an altar, raise our hands, proclaim we're contented. Lord God, let the power of heaven show up today. I thank you, Lord God, it's been here before I showed up. I thank you it'll remain when I leave. Lord God, I pray that that power remains for us, each and every one of us, Lord God. Let that power of contentment allow us to do great things. Lord God, we want to do great things, not for us, Lord. We just want to do great things for the kingdom. We just want to serve you more, love you more, witness for you more, reach more people, Lord God. Lord God, let us put aside what we want and just take more of what you give us. We just want more of what you want for us, Lord. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, Cross Point Church gathers together and all says, amen. Give him praise today, church. Give him praise. Church, when you have content in your life, you'll get a supernatural power. And that supernatural power is to do great things for the kingdom of the living God. Let's go out today saying, Lord, I'm ready to do great things for the kingdom of the living God because I'm content with who I am today. Have a great day. God bless you.
Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh,
love you, church.